By the time of the New Testament, lions were very rare in the Holy Land, but still could be found occasionally in the Jordan Valley. They're now totally extinct in that part of the world. But it had not always been so, and they're frequently mentioned in the Old Testament. They're seen always as ferocious beasts, as indeed they are. So in the vision of the messianic days to come, part of Isaiah's vision is of lions and calves lying down together with a little child to lead them. They represent the wildest of the wild. That's why Daniel is put into the lion's den to test whether his God can save him. They are the ultimate enemy for human beings. They were one of the things the shepherds needed to protect their sheep from. The Psalms are full of their bloodthirstiness. They are like lions waiting for me, waiting to devour me. They open their mouths like lions roaring and tearing at me. But their very strength and courageousness also stood as a symbol for the people of God. In Genesis 48 we read, "You are like a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion he crouches and lies down." And in Numbers 23 and 24, "The nation of Israel is like a mighty lion." So this imagery came to be used by the intertestamental writers as they looked forward to the coming of the Messiah, God's messenger who would bring in the kingdom and restore the fortunes of Israel. He would be the all-powerful conquering lion. And then we have this one reference in the New Testament, which we hear in Revelation chapter 5. "Who is worthy to open the scroll and break the seven seals?" The elder says that the Lion of Judah, the root of David, has won such a victory that he has the power to open the book and its seals. But what the next verse, which we didn't hear, goes on to say is this, "And I saw a lamb." Now, I've mentioned twice that sheep and goats easily get mixed up, but no one surely could confuse a lion and a lamb. Here is St. John the Divine showing us a totally new way of reading all that's been said in all those years of looking forward to the coming Messiah. They'd expected a warrior, a lion, a conquering hero. He would wield ultimate power. But look, that lion is in fact the lamb. John goes on to describe this lamb in detail. He bears the marks of his death, but he also has seven horns and seven eyes. In the Old Testament, a horn stands for sheer power on the one hand and for honour on the other. And in that period between the Old and New Testaments, there were the great heroes of Jewish rebellion against foreign invasion, the Maccabees. And their symbol in the first book of Enoch is a horned lamb. So for John's readers, this was an echo that they would immediately hear. Jesus, the king on the donkey, has defeated the enemy. The seven eyes the lamb possesses are based on a verse from Zechariah, the seven spirits sent out into the earth. "The eyes of the Lord, which run to and fro through the whole earth." This means the omniscience of God. The Lamb is all-powerful and all-knowing. No wonder the Lamb can fulfil the hopes they had of the Lion. The great scholar H.V. Sweet, who lived about 100 years ago, referred to the paradox this sets before us of the majesty of Jesus. Graham Kendrick, who is one of the best of the modern religious songwriters, years ago wrote these words which pick up that description. He fills it with all the seeming paradoxes that today presents to us: meekness and majesty, human and divine, eternity and time, power and humility, sacrifice and triumph, death and life, seen and unseen, stooping and raising. It goes like this: "Meekness and majesty, manhood and deity in perfect harmony. The man who is God, Lord of eternity, dwells in humanity, kneels in humility and washes our feet. Oh, what a mystery, meekness and majesty. Bow down and worship, for this is your God. Father's pure radiance, perfect in innocence, yet learns obedience to death on the cross. Suffering to give us life, conquering through sacrifice, and as they crucify, praise, Father, forgive. Wisdom unsearchable, God the invisible, love indestructible, in frailty appears. Lord of infinity, stooping so tenderly, lifts our humanity to the heights of his throne. Putting all these opposites together is exactly what John does in seeing the lion and the lamb as one. Let us ponder these paradoxes and mysteries.